It's Here and Now, and in 2 days we're going to be hearing a lot of this song.
Race, life's a race, and I'm gonna win. Yes, I'm gonna win.
That's Survival by the British group Muse, the official song of the 2012 Summer Games in London. Will attendees survive the traffic, the wildly unpopular games lanes exclusively for VIPs, open today, clogging other roads? Private cars and taxis that stray into the VIP lanes face a $200 fine. Thousands of drivers switch to public transport only to encounter severe delays on subway lines. So how will the 30th Olympiad be measured, and against what? What's the greatest Olympiad? And how would you measure that? The Boston Globe's John Powers has covered the Olympics since 1976, so we asked him which of the past contests was his most memorable, and he went all the way back to 2008, Beijing. John Powers, why Beijing? Make your case.
First of all, it was a very controversial choice. You know, a lot of people had issues going to Beijing, going to China. There's some human rights issues, weather issues, pollution issues. But the fact is the IOC said we cannot have the world's largest country and one of the top two or three sporting nations not host these games. And it turned out that it was really a coming out party, if you will, not just for Beijing, but for China, for their team, for the culture. What was striking to me was seeing a city in transition, literally walking past the Forbidden City, being on the Great Wall of China, and seeing jammed expressways with new cars, seeing a country that literally was, you know, in between the 19th and the 22nd centuries. Never been to a games that were so meticulously organized. People spending thousands of hours getting the opening ceremonies right.
Tell us more about that. We have some sound from the opening ceremonies. Rows and rows, hundreds of Chinese drummers, chanters, and they were inside this nest-like stadium that looked like a bird's nest. Let's just listen to a little bit.
I came into the opening ceremonies, you know, 2 hours early when you want to get seated and all that. There had been entertainers outside for 4 or 5 hours. And the idea that they were waiting and, you know, have been doing this for weeks, if not months, to prepare for hitting a drum for 2 minutes. And I think that was the level of organization that we saw. What was also interesting, too, was the quality of the competition in spite of the heat, and it was sauna-like on some days.
Staying with this sense that you had of how well organized this was, I mean, I'm reading that one rehearsal for the opening ceremonies, one rehearsal lasted more than 50 hours. There was that story that we remember, there was a young girl who was supposed to sing the Ode to the Motherland, but she didn't have a, you know, perfect features, and so they substituted a child to lip sync, and so they'd have this, everything was perfection, at least on the surface, but you know the criticism. That's a powerful metaphor. Just like cars were removed from roads, walls were built to shield people from, you know, slum areas and poverty. Did it make you at all queasy knowing how the Chinese achieved some of this perfection?
Yeah, I mean, clearly, you know, it was done at a level that Westerners would not have found sane. And the idea was to put the best face forward, the best foot forward, even if it meant having things covered up. I mean, literally, there were neighborhoods that were raised for this. If there were neighborhoods that were unsightly, they would just literally build a wall in front of it.
Yeah.
So I think a number of the skeptics, if not cynics, probably were right, that this was not China as China was every day. It was difficult if you wanted to talk to the average Chinese person to get permission to go to certain neighborhoods. But it added to the intrigue of covering those games. I mean, really, not since probably 1936 in Berlin had you seen a games where there was so much duality. I mean, 1936 was also apparently very, very well organized, but also there were issues with the Nazis.
Of course, we've seen the film footage, Adolf Hitler overseeing the games. But, you know, back to the games. You know, what struck you about just the sheer physical competition? And by the way, the Chinese not only wanted to put on the most spectacular show, they wanted to win.
The Americans won the most medals. China won the most golds, and that's what they cared about. But you also saw a situation where you had Chinese athletes who were favored to win gold and ended up with silver, felt as though they had to apologize to the nation for failing.
They wept.
Exactly. Now, this time, in London, China not only probably will top the table in gold, but probably overall too. What's been remarkable about what China has done is to excel in a number of sports across the board, not even so much track and swimming, but things like badminton, wrestling. They even have a woman who may win the boxing title.
So they did well, and you expect them to do better in London, but it wasn't without that huge story. Remember the allegations, and you write about it, that half of the women's gymnastics team, and there was that tiny gymnast, were under the age of 16. Whatever happened with that?
So far, nothing has happened.
Because if that was proven, they would have to give up their medals.
Yes, as a matter of fact, what did happen is there was a Chinese athlete in 2000 in the Sydney Games that was found years later to have been underage. And the Chinese had to give the bronze medal to the Americans. So I was joking with some of the U.S. women gymnasts who won the silver medal in Beijing behind the Chinese, and I said, just wait 10 years and it'll be gold.
Let's listen to another clip we have. This is from the track and field highlights of the 2008 game. Let's listen.
Here they come down the track. Usain Bolt sprinting ahead, winning by daylight and setting a world record, 9.68. The wind is okay. New world record. How easy was that?
Certainly, not only Usain Bolt setting a world record, which doesn't happen that often, by the way, at the Olympic Games. It was set by a Jamaican. I mean, that was always an event, the 100, where the U.S. always thought that they would own it. So that was impressive. In rowing, the U.S. women won the gold medal in the 8 for the first time. The gymnastics was just amazingly good, especially by the U.S. women. It was a game, certainly, on the U.S. side that you saw the effect of almost four decades of Title IX. The U.S. women more than hold their own globally now.
Yeah. So the games in London get underway Friday. What are you looking for? What are the sports highlights?
One of the issues clearly would be Michael Phelps not going 8 for 8 again, although he is entered in 7. But he wants to be the most bemedaled Olympian of any sport all time. He's quite likely to do that. Larisa Latsanina, who is the former Soviet gymnast, has the record with 18. Michael's at 16. He will certainly get 3. So that is going to be one of the major stories. The other big issue will be, how will Great Britain do? Usually the host country does quite well in the games. They are hoping to be in the top 4. But I think given all the issues that they've had with security, with transportation, the huge cost of the games, Britain clearly wants to do well. So that is going to be one story that all of us will be watching.
And again, with an eye on Beijing in 2008, what else are people like you looking for who've seen other Olympics? We mentioned that extraordinary Nest Stadium with interwoven steel twigs, architecture, for instance, and attitude and mascots and things. What will you be looking for in London?
There'll be two or three different venue areas there. One, of course, is East London, where they took a former industrial wasteland. The entire Olympic Park will be there with track and field and swimming, etc. But they're also using famous landmarks. For example, Horse Guard Parade will be seeing beach volleyball, archery at the Lord's Cricket Ground. They want to sell history. These are places that everyone in the world has been familiar with. And to see people in tiny bathing suits playing beach volleyball at the Horse Guards Parade, that would be unique.
The Boston Globe's John Powers, covering Olympic Games since 1976, about to add another one. John, thanks, and enjoy London.
Thank you, Robin.
So, let the office games begin. Are you planning on any? We're thinking about waste basketball or the 50-yard dash to the studio. What are your office games? Facebook.com/HereAndNowRadio. Send pictures. Here and Now is a production of WBUR Boston in association with the BBC World Service and PRI. I'm Robin Young. Please join us again here and now.
Funding for Here and Now comes from MathWorks, creators of MATLAB and Simulink software. Find over 200 job openings at MathWorks.com.
PRI, Public Radio International.